Yo, 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 what's goody? It's Bear in the building. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Queen Talk. Today's special guest is Simona Sanko.
Hey, everybody. I am Simona Sanko, and I am 42 years old. I'm from Ohio, Columbus, Ohio. Okay. And I am Black and African. So some people think I might be mixed with something else, but... and I identify as she, her, you know, me. Just And in the community, I am a lesbian.
So. Awesome. Thank you for joining me here today. I know this is out of your comfort zone a little bit.
Totally. You know? You got me in here looking crazy, man, but it's all good.
No.
Anything for the community to help anybody out.
Yeah, so. I appreciate that. I didn't know... you were from Ohio, though. Like, what brought you to Wichita? Or when did you come to Wichita, too?
I was seven, actually. So, okay. My dad used to work for the aircraft company there.
Okay.
And that closed down, and he got to pick Wichita, Kansas.
Okay. He got to pick, and he picked Wichita?
Yeah. It was between here and Colorado.
Nice. So, what does your background of the community look like? Like, what's your story of coming out?
Well, let's see. I was 18-ish.
And you went to South High, right?
I did go to South High. Okay. Actually, I started at Heights.
Okay.
We were in Heights District at first, and then Mom moved. I did not want to move, but, you know.
Yeah.
I met some great people at South High, so.
Good.
So. I first came out to my best friends, and I found out through me coming out to them, they were also
okay
part of the gay community. So we, you know, we did like a three-way call.
Okay.
But, then I, told moms, but I told her I was bisexual at the time. So, okay. But I knew that that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
So went off to college. Came back, met my first girlfriend. Then I was like, you know, Mom, I'm not bisexual. And she was like, I already knew that. I was just waiting on you. And I'm like, oh, okay.
So what did that conversation look like with your mom when you told her?
She always, as growing up, she's always told me, you know, it don't matter what your sexuality is. I got your back.
So she told you that before even coming out. So
she already had the, you know, the idea, but you know, I still was trying to do what the proper was, and I just figured finally by the time I went off to college, I need to live my own life. So
yeah, and your father, what was that conversation like with him?
So at the time, she was married to, not my stepdad now, because he's deceased, the one that I came out to. So, if I remember correctly, you know, he was cool, but from my understanding, in the background, he wasn't, you know, so okay with it. Okay. But he never showed it towards me, so
okay.
that was cool.
Do you have any siblings?
I do. Okay. I've got... sheesh, there's a lot of them. So I have an older brother that was in Africa. Okay. I haven't met him before. And then I have five brothers below me. Okay. I'm the only girl.
Oh, okay. The only female.
The only female.
So you had high expectations for yourself being the only female.
In a sense, you know, because being that the older brother, he's through a different dad than the brother that I've actually grown up with.
Okay.
So the other four that's under him is with my father. So okay. I have six brothers from my father. And then me and my brother that I've grown up with, we have the same mom but different dads.
Okay.
So.
And... so the father that you said you told and then wasn't really with it behind closed doors, is that your biological father?
No, okay. My biological father lives in Columbus, Ohio. And he took me in. I didn't really have a coming out. It was like, hey, Dad, meet my girlfriend, you know, type thing.
And he was cool with it?
Yes, he was cool with it. He accepted him in.
So. How is your siblings with you being a lesbian?
They're good. They're good. They're okay with it. Yeah. They don't see no different.
That's so good.
We have an okay relationship, being that we're so far away. The ones that are in Ohio, the one that is here that I grew up with, he is actually mentally disabled. Okay. So he is a little flirtatious guy. So the ones that he have met, he has been flirtatious with. So I take that as, you know, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, he's cool with it too.
Yep.
That's awesome. So. With you, like, you said you didn't have your first girlfriend till you, like, were out of college?
Mm-hmm. Nope. So, it would have been after my first year of college.
Okay.
So, in 2000.
Okay. And what, prior to that, like, what made you, what was, like, your earliest memories of, like, I feel like I
seventh
like girls?
Seventh grade. I had a crush on one of my best friends.
Yeah.
Found out later she had a crush on me too.
That was a different one. Without even knowing, you just
I did. I had the boyfriends in seventh grade.
Yeah.
And but it just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
But that first girl crush, I was like, man. But at that time, you couldn't come out. Yeah. You know, you just, that wasn't the thing to do. You would get teased.
Yeah.
So
is that what made you refrain from coming out? Like, what, seventh grade is when you had, like, your earliest memory of having a crush. What were the signs of you not wanting to be open?
Mainly, it was religion.
Okay.
That was the main thing. I had to be okay with my spiritual side first. Once I got okay with that and understood that I was created by God, and he created me in his way, doesn't matter what anybody else says.
Yeah.
He's going to love me regardless. Yeah. So once I came to conclusion with that, it was, I was done. Yeah. Gone.
What was that process like for you to get there? Because I feel like in the Black communities, especially, like, that was with me too, like, finding that and navigating my way. What did that process look like for you to get to where you were with your relationship with God?
It was, one, being comfortable with myself. Mm-hmm. Just being okay with, it's okay to be different. The other thing was, again, you know, he created me. Uh-huh. He couldn't have gone wrong.
Right.
So,
right.
Why is there an issue?
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Like,
did you go to church? Was there churches that you went to growing up and stuff like that? That you still do? Do you still go to church today too?
Every once in a while, I get on the YouTube. Usually, I attend Delrose, so sometimes I do go. Like I said, most of the time it's on YouTube. Watch it online. So.
Do you feel like you watch an online church because you're not comfortable with going in person, or is that just how it just happens to be? You just, like, go on?
It's because of how my life runs, mm-hmm. You know, just busy. I don't believe in going to church when you're extremely tired, because I will be that one to pass out. So I think that's very disrespectful.
Yeah.
So I would prefer to be at home, you know, and not worry about that portion. Plus I can hit rewind if I need to, and be able to enjoy and not feel so bad about going to sleep.
Right. Yeah. So you would feel comfortable with, like, going to church in person? And
yes,
stuff.
I do. I do feel very comfortable at Delrose.
Good.
Going to church.
So Delrose is in Wichita, Kansas?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. What denomination is that?
It's not. Okay. Well, it's United Methodist.
Okay.
So
nice. What made you feel comfortable in that church?
Just the people that are there.
Yeah.
If they do have an issue, it doesn't show.
Okay.
They are very warming and welcoming there. So, and I'm able to dress how I want to dress and feel comfortable.
Nice.
I don't necessarily have to go in a suit or a dress or anything like that. I can just be comfortable. Come as you are.
Yeah. Basically. Is it, what's the ethnicity of the church?
It's black.
Black? Okay.
There are so, you know, little different other nationalities that come every so often, but it's mainly
black. All right. I've been looking for, like, a church to go to in person. I go to church online as well, just because, honestly, I haven't been comfortable. I haven't found a church that I'm comfortable with going to in person. So, thank you for that. I will definitely check that out.
Yeah.
You mentioned work. Are you a rad tech?
Right? I am.
Okay. How is that like being in the medical field and like navigating as a person of color who is also queer too? Like, what does that look like for you?
Well, I haven't come personally into an issue.
Okay.
So I've been very lucky with that. Though I still, in the back of my mind, you know, wonder, you know, do people have a problem? I don't just automatically talk about my personal life when it comes to the community.
Mm-hmm.
I have to see, are people okay with that?
Right, give it a feel.
Yeah, pretty much. But where I work at now, my life kind of done a full circle. Mm-hmm. So I've worked with the people already somewhere else at another hospital.
Okay.
Or a couple of them were my x-ray instructors.
Okay, nice.
When I was in school. So they already knew who I was. I knew I could be comfortable already. And I had a couple of classmates also. So.
Oh, nice. So you went to Fort Hays, is that right? Or
that was later. To actually initially get your associate's degree, I went to Newman.
Okay, you went to Newman.
I went to Newman.
Okay.
I was about that.
How was that, like, Newman being a Catholic school? And you're out at that point, right? Like,
yes, I was out at that point.
And that was the year that you did you find your girlfriend at Newman? Or
No. Oh, okay. No. My first girlfriend was actually a mutual friend.
Okay.
A friend of a friend's friend.
Okay.
Pretty much. That happened. So I initially went to Highland Community College from 99 to 2001. When I came back for the summertime in 2000, that's when I found my first girlfriend. But x-ray school happened in 2006. I started there at Newman. So I had a girlfriend at the time, but that was my second girlfriend. Not the first one. You know, I was going to a Catholic school, I don't know. You know, there you have to take some type of religious course.
Okay.
And I was very skeptical about that. I didn't want to be, you know, somebody tell me, well, you have to be like this. And,
yeah.
But I actually learned a lot. They weren't like that. So I was very surprised. They're like, oh, man. I was nervous.
Yeah.
But it turned out good. I can't complain.
So, like, did you feel, so Newman is also just like, there's not a lot of people of color on the campus. So did you feel like comfortable in all of your identities there at Newman, or what was that? Did they know that you were,
the way they could assume by the way that I dressed, but
okay,
I didn't
so
really,
you didn't hide.
No.
Yeah, okay.
No, not at all. As far as, I only had that one class because by then I had already had all my prereqs.
From
so
Highland.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just, you know, be me. That was it. It didn't seem like anybody was racist, you know.
Good.
They didn't show it anyways. If they were, my classmates for x-ray, we were together, you know, for the entire 2 years. So it was like a family. In that class, I believe there was like 3 or 4 of us.
All right.
Out of 25, 30. So
nice. So that's good. I mean, whenever I think of just like a Catholic school and just like my identity and like how I identify, like it scares me. So I just like hearing it from you. So it is a community there that for your experience, it was comfortable for you. Good. Let's see. You said you're a rad tech. Are you a mechanic too? Wait, come on. Yeah. Are you a mechanic too?
I wouldn't say that much.
Yeah. But come on. You went to WSU Tech, right?
I'm currently still there.
Okay.
I graduate this May. So it's almost over.
Okay, and it's for mechanic?
Yes, it's for mechanic. I'm getting an associate's in auto mechanic. But I won't be certified. I'll have some areas where I'm certified as a, what's the word I'm looking for? As a new person. So other than that, I'll just mainly have the degree. I'm looking to hopefully have a mobile service started just to kind of help out people just with the basic stuff. I'm not trying to get into all the extra hardcore stuff. I'm an x-ray tech. You know, what, still, you know, I keep my hands still looking pretty. Okay.
So you are still pursuing the rad tech. What made you pick up mechanical school?
Dude? I've always loved working on cars.
Yeah.
But there came a time where I was working on a Mini Cooper.
Okay.
Supposed to do a pulley change deal. And I looked on YouTube, you know, because that's the best place to go. Saw a few videos, told me what to do. So there's that center pin you got to pull out. Well, I thought. Pulled it out, and it made the timing chain drop. So I couldn't even put the pulley back in. So at that point, I have created a whole nother situation.
Okay.
Had to get on Facebook, find some people who work on Mini Coopers. yo, this is what happened. This is where I'm at. What do I got to do? And I did eventually find somebody who helped me. That car was down for a month or a little over. So I said, I need to try to get some basic, boundaries there. And so I got in and here I am.
Okay. So that's all gibberish to me, what you're speaking right now.
So the little circular thing.
I'm not that handy person. Dude, are you pretty handy? I feel like when I get into relationships, women expect me to be this handy person. That's not me. I'm not that person, but you are.
I am that person. Living paycheck to paycheck. You have to figure it out on your own.
Right, yeah.
You don't have the money to pay these experts.
Yeah. So
it's really the man's field. And when I got in that class, I was the only girl.
Oh, you were the only girl at the WSU.
And the only black person. Oh. So, but the guys were great. I got a family out of those guys because you end up going the whole time with the same people until each of you graduate, because you don't really start at the same exact time in the same classes. So some of them had already been there for a year, or they have, already taken a couple, another class or two before me. So a lot of them are already auto, been working on cars for forever and a day. So if I had questions or I needed to figure something out, they were there for me, and we still keep contact even now. Now that I'm at the end, I'm all by myself, and I have started out with a whole new group of people. But now there's three girls in the class that I'm in now. So, and we're all three black.
That's dope.
There's a few black guys in there too. So
good. So it's coming up. Good. The kids that I work with, I'm always telling them, if you're trying to find something that's always needed, a mechanic and an engineer, IT, those are the ones to go to. And obviously, in the medical field, as we've seen with, COVID and stuff like that, I'm always pushing them to get in something like that, for sure. Yeah, because... Yep.
Jump in the hospitals.
Yeah.
No matter what job, everybody's job is important. They might not think so, but it is.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Well, that's good for you, and you being that role model for those other girls that came in there, seeing somebody you didn't have nobody when you came in there.
No, so. I didn't. Not just those guys. They made me feel comfortable, and that was the one thing they said. Once we're gone, make sure the new group that they feel comfortable too when they come in, and that's what I tried to carry on. So
I feel with your family dynamic of how you came out, like, everyone was pretty open, and no one, you didn't have a hard time of
not even the family back in Ohio. You know, I took my girlfriend there, and they were welcoming with open arms. You know, there was nothing that could be like, no, this is not right. And I love that. I love that about my family. So,
and you guys are still, you have a pretty close-knit family too.
Yeah. For, you know, for the distance that we have. Yeah. Most definitely.
When you, is your family like really religious as well?
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
They are religious, but it's not hardcore.
Okay. So with your mom, what was your fear of telling her? Like, you said she always was pretty open and honest. So do you think it was just the religion aspect of it, or do you think it was...
No, it was... Yeah, she was making me comfortable, but is that really, you know, how she truly feels? It was the doubt. Even though me and my mom, we have a close relationship, there was always still, you know, moms love you. They're going to love you for, you know, but is it still really okay?
Yeah.
And I just had to, you know, it's not about her anymore. It's about me. I have to live my truth,
right,
my life. If she doesn't accept it, I'll have to accept that. Maybe we can figure something out, you know, as maybe I just won't bring that person around, but we can still have a relationship type thing. But no, she welcomed it with open arms. I'm also an entertainer, a male illusionist in the community, and she has my back fully with that.
So I was going to talk about that. Male illusionist, that's what the proper term is for, mm-hmm, like the drag, mm-hmm, for, okay,
instead of drag king and drag queen, it's female illusionist and
female
illusionist
and male. What is the difference between female illusionist and male illusionist?
So female illusionist would be the guys dressing as women, and then male illusionist would be the girls dressing as guys.
So instead of drag, that's...
So it's still, you know, that, so you have your proper term, your political term, and then you have your everyday term, drag king, drag queen.
Okay, so that's like the proper way to say it. That was, mm-hmm, male illusionism. Okay.
Yeah.
How did you get into that?
I actually saw a good friend of mine. Well, actually, my first girlfriend was... one of those people who watched over the kids in the dorm rooms. I can't think of the proper term.
Oh, I know.
At WSU. So okay. I've been to several different schools, okay, over my time. So after Highland Community College, I ended up going to WSU. RA, that's what, a resident assistant, that's what it was. And she wanted to create a drag show. So we had been going to them already at Fantasy.
Okay.
So she wanted to kind of bring that type of community, help the community that on campus have somewhere to feel comfortable. So she did, she got some of the people at the time to do the drag show. And for the first time, I had saw a drag king.
Okay.
And I was like, what? They have those? And the songs that, you know, he picked, I was like, man, those, I love those. They were old school songs. And, you know, and I ended up talking to him. I'm like, well, I would like to try. One of the things, reasons, is because I was scared to stand up in front of people and talk, get nervous, jittery and stuff. And I figured that would be one way that would help me kind of get over that.
Yeah.
You know, but I talked to him. He said, yeah, I got your back. You know, just let me know. And which was J Love.
Okay.
So he helped me out with putting the hair on the face and stuff. And, you know, I ended up having to do it by myself one time. And I'm like, there's all this white stuff. The hair won't be, it's not covering it. He was like, don't worry, it'll dry and it won't show. I was like, oh, okay. So, but ever since then.
Do you remember what you first performed and where it was at?
It was at Fantasy, and me and J-Love, we did New Kids on the Block and Nelly. Girlfriend, I think that's what it's called.
Okay.
So that was the first song. So, you know, she kind of helped me out.
Yeah.
Being on stage for the first time. And then I can't remember what my second song is. I'm pretty sure it was a Nellon song, though.
Yeah. And you still do that now, right?
I do. So it's, I started when I was 21, 22, I believe. So 20 years.
Hey, nice. Yep. Is it, have you like traveled with it too? Or?
Yeah. I've been to Oklahoma as far as states wise. And then I've been to McPherson, Hutchinson, Kansas, Gardner, Kansas.
Do you have a different name that you go by?
Yes.
And what's your name?
Thug Passion.
Thug Passion.
Thug Passion.
What made you choose Thug Passion?
At the time I came out, I was dressing in baggy clothes, you know, thug-ish way. And then I've always been a loving, passionate person. So I just put the two together and there he is.
Thug Passion. I like it. Okay. I like it. I've actually seen you perform a few times. I went with my mom one time and it got a little out of hand, but
Did she like it?
She loved it. She loved it. That's it. Good. I still have a video. It was her birthday and you gave her a lap dance.
That sounds like Thug Passion, all right. That sounds like him, you know. Always trying to make people feel special.
Yeah.
I've got 3, 4, or 5 minutes on stage, and sometimes it's the songs you pick, they touch people.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm looking for to do is, you know, make them feel special at that moment and get off stage and I keep moving.
If another female was trying to be a male illusionist, what's the process look like for them? Like today,
figure out who you are. That's the main thing. Is when you go on stage, you gotta know who you are. If you don't, it'll show.
Mm-hmm.
And then people will be like, you know, what's going on? Especially people who've been around the business, the craft for so long. So once you know who you are, then everything else just falls into place.
Yeah, that's good. That's never been a thought of mine.
You don't want to do it?
I would do it just for like one time but that's not something.
They
got amateur night?
Yes.
Okay, I might come on an amateur night. Because, you know, like, I like to do like karaoke a little bit, but it's not singing out loud. It's just like lip singing. They don't got to like.
There are some entertainers who do get out there and actually use their vocals.
Yeah, I have heard that. But that wouldn't be me because I wouldn't get the dollars if I did that. But, you know, I might just like do it one time for the one time just to get out there and do it.
You should.
Just to say I did it.
It might change your mind.
Nah, I don't think so. That's not. Nah.
Do you love to dance?
Nah, no. I don't. And that's the thing. Like, I wouldn't even, like, I got, like, the little, I'm the side person on the side that does, like, the same moves, but I don't be out there, like, he's ain't got it for the dance moves like that, for sure. That ain't me. But, yeah, that's why I've never really thought about doing it, because I don't dance. But I see people out there, like, Sierra dancing like damn Chris Brown and shit, like, nah.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you don't just stand there, I mean, you can go and woo the crowd.
Yeah.
You can still make your dollars.
Yeah. Nah, I don't know.
But the best part of it is just seeing, you know, people smile and having a good time, so.
Yeah. What does that community look like? Like, backstage and just, like, being in that world?
You know, everybody has their ups and downs. But for the most part, it's a family. It really is. We have those who don't get along and those who get along.
Yeah.
But what matters is we come together. We create a wonderful show for the people out there. And we keep moving. People try to give advice. If you know, you're willing to accept it in, you accept it in. If you don't, you don't. You know.
Yeah. Is there a lot of black male illusionists or
here in Wichita?
Yeah,
there is a few of us.
Okay.
But you'll see more in the bigger cities.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, We are who we are.
I'll have to, when's your next show?
I am actually taking a break. I am going to go out for Mr. Salt City Pride 2024. So I'm putting all my focus into that. I just have, well, I guess there's one quote unquote show. I'm doing Salina Pride on June 2nd, I believe it is.
Is Wichita? I just tried to look up Wichita. I didn't see any information on Wichita Pride. All I seen was a form that you can fill out to give ideas for 2024 prom, but I didn't see, or not prom, Pride. But I haven't seen anything. Have you heard?
I haven't heard much of anything. It's been a long time since I've been a part of Wichita Pride.
Okay.
And they've gone through, you know, different changes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just catch who I can catch.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty much what my thing is. I get out there. I just want to get my name out there. I want to, you know, make people happy in different cities. If I can get in other states, that would be great. But, you know, all in all, if they've never seen you, they got to take a risk on you.
Right, yeah.
And some people just aren't willing to do that.
Yeah.
So it's great to video yourself if you can, so you can get them out there. So when you do go to other states, you say, what do I got to do to be in your show?
Mm-hmm.
And you could show them, you know, what you can do and hopefully go from there. But usually it comes from people coming here and seeing you and you know, they got to get a feel for your personality, because you don't want to bring somebody who's going to cause trouble.
Yeah.
You know, so, but around Kansas, I'm dibbling and dabbling each year. So.
And is that what you do, like, for the Salina Pride? Is that what you did? Like, you sent your information to them to get it, or they just reached out to you for the...
Actually, Candy Kane is a very big person in our community. She's done a lot of prides and pageants, and... I'm pretty good friends with her, and so they reached out to her, and she's the one who put the list together.
Okay, nice.
So she's also in the community, so she hit me up. Hey, Salina Pride, you willing to?
Is this your first time going to Salina Pride, or have you been there?
Okay, it is. It is.
Have you heard about it? Like, is it... Salina's not... It's not that small. Like, it's pretty... It's a pretty fairly sized town, so...
From my understanding, there's... they're rebuilding.
Okay.
I'm just going out there.
And that's June 2nd?
June 2nd.
All right. Yeah. I hope Wichita does something. Like...
You know, I do, too. I usually don't find out until it's too late.
Yeah.
But we used to do it in June, and then at some point it got pushed more to like September because of the heat and everything.
Yeah.
And then after that, I kind of fell off. I don't know if it's just due to advertisement or, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I just.
Yeah. I did see that there's a bar crawl, I think, like a Wichita Pride bar crawl.
Really?
Yeah, I did see that. I literally just seen it today. I think it's sometime in June too. It's sometime in June.
Cool.
But because I was looking up to see if there was any Pride events, and then that popped up. So yeah,
it's all the smaller cities for Pride in June for Kansas, anyways. As far as Wichita goes, you know, it's just you just gotta keep your eyes out.
Right. Yeah. Well, hopefully it gets better and picks up, because it is, like, you get to just, it's a place, a community. Like, I've been to other Prides, and just, like, that environment, and it's just a good feeling to be in a space where you know everyone here is just, like, accepting and welcoming. So, hopefully they do get it together.
Yep. I felt like that, you know, at Hutch. That's why I keep going back. The community there is great.
Okay.
But being that I'm doing their pageant, I can't perform. So, Gardner, the community there, I believe it was their second one when I went. Wonderful people, very welcoming. I did McPherson for the first time last year. I was kind of like, you know, traveling. Yeah. Zip, zip, zip. Last year.
In all the little towns.
Yeah, I was trying to. But they were very welcoming also. Yeah. So even though they're little towns, you know, they're the community is still fit like family.
Good, good. That's good that within the community, like, it is family too. Go to, like, the shows and stuff. People are really, like, the performers are really nice. Like, they don't ever rub me the wrong way. Like,
that's good.
They're rude or anything like that, so.
I know when I first started, I felt like a celebrity because I was working at Walmart at the time. And people would come through, oh, my gosh, that's Thug Fashion. And I'm like, hey, how you doing?
Yep, that's me.
So,
out here making more dollars.
That's it. That's it. You know, I'm still a regular person. I always try to stay humble. Yeah. You know, that's what it is about, being humble.
Yeah. I feel like, so when I first met you was when we played football in the Cougars.
Mm-hmm. And actually, you hit me up in the club like, hey, you want to play football?
Oh, I did.
Yeah, you're the one who was like, let's play. You want to play football? Football? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I just like felt like a really good connection with you then. And I don't know, like, I haven't really like hung out and hit you up since. Then that was 2016 when I was looking. That was 2016 we were playing.
A long time ago.
Yeah, and I was like, I've been in Wichita that long because that was like the year I got to Wichita, like a year after that. So I had been in Wichita already a year, so 2015. But I was like, yeah, 2016. It's almost time for me to make my way. You know,
move around. Just travel.
Yeah,
yeah. Keep your base here and just travel.
See, and. Like, my base, I need more representation where my base is.
I understand.
And that's why I gotta go. Because I've been in pretty much a town like this all my life. So, I grew up in El Dorado, Kansas. So, it's even worse than Wichita.
Okay.
And so, it's just like, I gotta switch it up. I gotta switch it up. Like, I'm out here yearning for representation for sure. Like it's really hard to find here in Wichita, like where you can go to a place and know 90% of the people look like you, or they got the brunch spot. Nana with the brunch. Have you been over to Hangover Brunch yet?
No, I have not.
He's building something good. Like you would love that. It's like grown folks. It's a hangover brunch, but they're still not gay. So they're people of color, right?
Yeah.
But they're still not gay. So yeah. It's just like I'm trying to find it all. I need to be in a space that like you get me 100%, and I don't have to feel like I'm hearing microaggressions multiple times a day. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Just for me, I'm just like over that. For real, I'm creating this, so.
It makes sense. Well, you said you went to California. Did you get to experience the community there?
Yes, I did.
Was it fulfilled?
That's why I'm trying to get out, because that's literally why I went to WeHo, and then it was the first time I had seen multiple people of color that was gay, and like, I was just like, I don't know. I really had to just like contain myself. Which is like how overwhelmed it was just because seeing so many people. It was like, I know we're out. Like, I've been right. to Atlanta too, like to an Atlanta club too. And I was the same way. Like, when I went there and I seen just like different people that you wouldn't even assume were gay, like on the outside, but they are. So that's when I came back here. I was like, oh, y'all gay. Y'all all gay. I was like, y'all just hiding it. Y'all are out here just hiding it because. I just, like, everybody from all different walks of life are just, like, gay. And I was just like, yeah. It's just, like, open my eyes. There's so much more than what I have been seeing for 30 years of my life here in Kansas. So it's just like, yeah. And getting it just for a week isn't enough for me. Going on vacation for just a week isn't enough for me. Like, that's just how I feel.
I know exactly what you mean. I went to Atlanta Black Gay Pride. Oh my God. I was like, all these people. And the men, though, the men is what really threw me for a loop. You would never thought just by looking at them that they were gay at all.
Yep.
And I was like, wow. You know, so I get it. I get it. You know, that was an experience for me.
Yeah.
But I guess I've never looked at it as being around, you know, 90% of my color. You know, for me, it's just being accepted. Mm-hmm. I moved to D.C. for a little bit. And I got to go to their clubs there. And I don't know, the vibe just didn't seem very welcoming to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's just, you know, because of the area or maybe just because of the club we went to. But it just didn't seem very welcoming. Now, when I was in Atlanta for that time, everything was very welcoming. So it was a two different type of experiences. Yeah. It could be because one was Pride and the other one wasn't.
Right, yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, it's... you brought, like, even being a black person who's queer, entering black spaces sometimes doesn't feel very welcoming and safe. And that's what I mean, like, but when you have people of color who are also queer, like, they get it. And that's where I feel safest, is when I'm around people that I can see a reflection of myself in some way.
This wasn't it. I had to move back here from there because that lifestyle wasn't for me. I like to be able to travel 15 minutes anywhere I needed to go. doing public transportation when I have a car, that didn't make sense for me.
Yeah.
But I kind of felt like if you just weren't in the know there about what was going on, you would just be sitting at home constantly. And I didn't want to be that person. So
what took you to DC?
Well, I ended up not working as an x-ray tech for a little bit. And, you know, I said, hey, I don't have no kids. I'm not with anybody. So let's give it a try.
Yeah.
I had a friend that was already there. He'd been living there for a while. So it was easy for me to just pick up and go. He made it very easy for me. So nice. But when I got there, I only spent a few months there. And
only a few months?
Yeah, because you were just a number there, you know.
Okay.
Just trying to find an x-ray. I figured finding an x-ray job would be easy. Mm-hmm. No, it's not at all. I'd say it's easier here, and our jobs aren't very open here. They're not available really that much here. But I applied for a license for x-ray in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get the okay until I was already back here, and it was like 5 months later. What is that gonna do for me?
Right, yeah.
You know, they don't move.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I didn't feel like I was there for 4th of July, and we weren't barbecuing like everybody else was doing back here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just like, where do I go for the fireworks?
Yeah.
I don't, you know, so I had to come back like, this lifestyle is not for me.
Yeah. One thing I will say about like the Midwest and Kansas is like that friendly-ish vibe, right? Like, so when I went to LA, people, you know, when you're driving in the cars, you give the wave and, you know, that's not a thing like in LA, like they're not friendly or just like just welcoming of like, mm-hmm. I feel like that Midwest is just neighbor, you're my neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And like if you need something, if you on the side of the road, like I might stop for you. But in bigger cities like that, it's just like people are just like numbers. It's like I don't know you, I'm not stopping for you.
Yep.
So
that's how I feel too. But I've also heard a lot of people who are from those bigger cities say that we are not very welcoming here in the Midwest. So it's, you know, weird to hear that. Like, what?
Yeah.
You're telling me you said hi to somebody and they didn't say hi back?
Right. Yeah. Do you foresee yourself being in Kansas for like this is where you're at for good?
Yeah, I do. I have moved up quite well in my job. The people I work with are great, and we're like a family. If I need to take care of something, my bosses understand. There are quite a bit of things, you know, going on around Wichita. They're not very good at advertising it, but it depends on what you're looking for, you know. I love being able to go 15 minutes, whatever direction, no traffic. So those things is what's important to me. If I leave here, I'd have to transfer to another place. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, am I going to get that same, you know, is my pay going to be the same or is it going to be more? Well, how much will I have to drop? You know, are the people that I'm working with, are they going to be family oriented or am I just going to be stuck? Am I going to be miserable? That's my whole thing. When I think about if I move somewhere warm, then where am I going to travel to?
Yeah.
There's no point in leaving because I'm already by an ocean. I'm already somewhere where it's warm. That's so now where I go. Yeah.
Just travel when it's, if you want to get cold.
That's it. You know, who wants to do that? So let's live in the cold and travel and experience the world you know, from there. I'll be, you know, as far as money-wise, you know, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't. Those things are the things that are important to me. Plus my mom is here. My brother is here. I'm another guardian over him. So if anything was to happen with my mom, you know, I've got to take care of my brother.
Yeah.
Then I got to think about those things. If I uproot him, you know, what is the experience going to be like for him?
Yeah.
Or is the state going to approve, you know, this for him?
Yeah.
So I've got a lot to think about.
Yeah.
It's not just me when I leave. Or if I leave, something happens, can I get back here to be with my family?
Yeah.
So.
And you got a lot going on.
Like,
you got a lot.
I do.
Like the school you went to for RadTech, so you're doing that. Then the mechanic, like, it's.
Taking care of them.
And then being a Mel Illusionist. And then, like, it's. It's a lot. And then I see you be skating on Fridays.
Oh, man.
You should have went on my birthday. We went.
You should have hit me up.
Usually you're always there.
I know.
You're always there.
Life took over for a little second, you know. I ended up going last week. So, but yeah, I do.
Is that what you like to do?
Is that your outing? It is. Takes me back to when I was a kid.
I feel that.
You have no care in the world for those 3 hours. You know what I mean? So just listen to the music and go around in a circle. Try not to get knocked over by somebody who's falling.
Yeah.
So, but.
I enjoyed it. There was quite a few of us that went there. It was a good turnout. It was 90s night too. So great music, good vibes. And yeah, I feel that. Like in Wichita, it's like there is stuff that you can do.
Mm-hmm. They have a Soul Sunday too.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They play soul music on Sunday. It's from 7 to 9.
I'll have to check that out.
I haven't made it there yet, but I plan on it.
Yeah, I drinking involved in skates. I didn't fall one time.
Nice.
I didn't fall one time. I was proud of myself that a few years before that, I busted my butt like so bad, hit my head on the thing, my glasses flew off, everything. I hopped up though like a G, like nothing happened. You know, like when you fall, you gotta get up quick or else they're gonna run over your fingers, you gonna tumble people down. Like, it's not a place for that. But yeah, that's one thing that I need to get in to do more is just like finding that stuff here in Wichita to do that's fun. And there was a lot of people of color there.
You went on a good night.
Yeah. Oh. I guess because it was 90s night. Like,
probably.
But yeah, there was.
Last week it wasn't. It was packed, but it wasn't a lot of people of color. Mm. So, but there are a few of us who consistently go, you know, every Friday. That's their thing. So.
Yeah, it ain't going to be mine every Friday, but I'm definitely going to pop in there every now and then because that was a good time. What does a great ally look like for you, though?
Really just support. I contact you then you be there.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's through a phone call, a text message, just when I need you, be there.
Yeah.
You know.
What would you say to someone who is trying to support someone in that's a part of the queer community, that an ally?
Well, that's a good one. Mainly, just continue to be yourself, figure out who you are. If there's anything, to help get information for that you need, or even just simply sharing my story or finding someone who's kind of similar, to their story, or just even bring that person around good people, good positive vibes, would be the main way to give them that support.
Good. So as you discussed, like, with your coming out journey, and it was hard for you to come out because of, like, the religion aspect of it, what would you tell someone that's navigating, like, how can you help them in your way?
I mean, you know, same thing, information. What is it that you're struggling with? If there's, like I said, people who can help in that way, because not everybody's situation is the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I may not know how to help you, but I may know somebody else who can, or I may know where to get some information, or I might know about a support group. Hey, here's this support group that you can go to. If you want me to go with you, I'll go with you,
mm-hmm.
Type thing. So.
Wow. Well, Simone, I appreciate you joining me on this podcast.
Getting me out here talking to these folks.
No, you're just talking to me. You're just talking to me. You're just having a casual conversation. I appreciate it, and hopefully it helps some people. Like, you've been through a lot. Like, you, like, the different schools you've been to, you're a male illusionist, like, a mechanic, rad tech. Like, there's so many things that you got going on for yourself, and you didn't let your identity stop you from pursuing those things. Like, you were the first in many of those spaces and the only one. So, like, you've had to overcome a lot. So, and you're still pushing through, like, the barriers. So,
oh, yeah. You know, I didn't really put to face exactly everything that I was, that I go through or been through until I had to write a little essay for a scholarship. That I was applying for. It's for minorities and for people in LGBT community. And the thing I had to write about was my struggle as a minority in the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, I had to look at, I'm a lesbian, I'm a minority, I'm an entertainer, you know. So when I think about, when I walk into a job interview, I don't go in a skirt.
Yeah.
You know, I don't go with my hair flat ironed.
Right.
You know, I'm in braids, you know, button down shirt, maybe a tie, you know, some slacks, you know, and that's the first thing that they see.
Right.
Then I also have that I am a person of color. Then, okay, well, she looks like this, so most likely she's probably a lesbian. So I've got all that, you know, going against me already when I walk into an interview.
Right.
But I just be me. You know, if I don't get the job, then it wasn't meant for me to be at that place.
Right.
That's how I look at it. When I started working where I am now, I was working at a primary care office, and then I picked up as a part-time working at the hospital. So I said, I want to be here at this hospital for full time. I went to my boss. What do I got to do to make that happen? Well, you're going to have to start working daytimes because you got to get more experience. So I had to take a pay cut because I had to stop working daytime some of the time at my primary care office so that I could start working. So, you know, it's a different type of struggle. It's a struggle within the community. Mm-hmm. Because you have people who get along and people who don't get along. Mm-hmm. So it's always a continuous struggle, no matter what. And you just have to continue being humble.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. It is hard to navigate life being a queer person of color, who's also a woman. Like, you're a woman, too. And so I understand you completely, 100% in what you're saying right now. And that's what this is for, like, this podcast and just, like, bringing people together and showing, like, it doesn't matter. Like, we're breaking these barriers and we're here whether you like it or not. Like, this is us. Accept us or move along. So
I appreciate you doing this.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like I said, I know this is out of your comfort zone, so I really, really thank you for coming and doing this and supporting what I got going on too. Just supporting each other and what we do is just like it's needed, and it means a lot for me, like, that you came here and you brought me multiple people too, like, so that too. So yeah, I just thank you so much. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Queen Talk. I hope you enjoyed Simona's story and you learned a lot. Please share, like, leave a comment. Let us know what you think of this. Family, friends, strangers, love. Be nice. Hey, wasn't too bad, huh?